Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Ray. Oh, are you talking to the congressman?
You know, actually, this is confusing.
Yes, yeah. It's two Joes. We had that last week with Eric Simowitz.
Yeah, that's right.
Second District
We're
Congressman.
Taking over the world.
Exactly. It's all Joes all the time. Yeah. Second District Congressman Joe Courtney is with us. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Thank you for breakfast.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes. Yep.
Glad to
Did
help
Ray
me.
Pick up the tab?
Yeah, he did.
Nice. He is. That's why he's the big dog.
He's
here.
A special guest.
Yeah. Come on, he is a very special guest.
It's within the gift rule. So that's it. Just want to state that for the record.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Obviously, it's been a busy time down in our nation's capital as it relates to your district. What has gone on down there, Joe? That has been a benefit for the second district.
So, with the change in control, obviously not just the gavel with the speaker, but also all the committees and subcommittees changes. Right. And so as someone who's, been on the CPower subcommittee since day one, I'm now chair.
Yay!
And have the gavel. I was telling Ray, we checked with a House historian when the last time anyone from Connecticut chaired a Navy committee or subcommittee. It was 1873.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Just testing you.
I do.
Yeah. but anyway, that's the committee that basically does the shipbuilding plan, does, a lot of the Marine Corps and Navy issues that, quality of life, because we have a base that goes back to 1867.
Yes, it's still open
with about 8,000 sailors and officers and 15 subs that operate out of there.
Because Bragg tried to kill it.
Twice.
Yeah.
90s and 05. And obviously the shipbuilding is very important in Eastern Connecticut.
Right.
EB hit the 17,000 mark in terms of its workforce last month or so.
Good jobs, too.
And not only that, 51% of the workforce now is millennial, which is, something that I think is really, significant, because it's not just growing, it's changing, and it's getting younger. And they're going to 20,000 with the existing shipbuilding plan. So last time I was on the show here, we had just failed to get an amendment through that would have boosted production from 2 a year to a 3 a year.
Right.
In the end of the next block contract. Very frustrating for me. Again, it was a bipartisan push that came up short. The president's budget, which came out last week, actually at least embraced part of my amendment, which is going to boost to 3 a year. In 2022, so
that's good.
That smooths out the workforce. There were a couple sort of ups and downs.
Any manufacturing's that way.
That's right. And but if you get enough sort of a horizon in terms of production, then you can maintain stability in the workforce there. So we've obviously got a long way to go to get the budget finished. So far the response, particularly on that particular component, has been positive. There's other parts of what they sent over which are, frankly, just not going to fly.
Right, and how will that affect your?
Well, again, if we get a decent enough number, we got to settle the issue of caps. The sequestration law, which passed in 2011, has got two more years left, 2020 and 2021. And frankly, there's a great desire among both Democrats and Republicans to strike a deal, lift the caps on both defense and non-defense. And then, frankly, I think we're going to be fine in terms of protecting that and that piece of it.
A larger question. Okay. I mean, China, obviously, we pay a lot of attention to Russia. Okay, yeah. Fine. But I mean, the country that's coming on is China. I mean, in the South China Sea, they're building islands. They're building up their Navy. They now have an aircraft carrier. I mean, that seems to me to be the big threat.
And there's no question. You're right. And I mean, they used to be just a country that was what they called a littoral navy that just sort of was protected,
right,
the coastline and stuff. It is now a blue water navy, and they are building out every platform you can imagine. And you're absolutely right. I mean, so one of the reasons why the 3 sub a year production is so important is that we still have an old fleet. We're going to be retiring Los Angeles class subs over the next 7 or 8 years at a faster clip than 2 a year right. replaces it. And so we're at 51 now, and we're going down to 42 by 2026 if we don't find ways to as I say, you know, mitigate the decline. And that's what, you know, my amendment was aimed at here. Okay. And China is, you know, activity in the South China Sea is extremely aggressive. And subs are, you know, basically right. the queen on the chessboard.
And it would seem, though, that this president seems to have a relationship with the Chinese, whether it's good or bad. I mean, seems like it's a good relationship. In the long run, do you think that's harmful to us? I mean, do you think they're playing him at all?
We'll see. I mean, right now, their trade representative is actually in Beijing right. Because, you know, the tariffs trade war is you know, it's really reached a point where, you know, everybody knows what each other's side's looking right. for here. Right. And I was with a company in Chester yesterday that actually brings in product from China for they make high-end windows and doors, okay. Rotofrank, it's really good stuff. And they're getting killed, you know, with the tariffs. And I could repeat this story around the district right. in terms of, I mean, Garbo Lobster shut down in Groton. They half their product, live lobsters, was sold into China and the counter tariffs.
I mean, I'll make up the slack.
I mean, it was an amazing business, though. And it was sad because, but the guy said it was like a light switch when China
just
put a 25.
Flipped off?
Yep. The orders just ceased.
Wow.
And it happened right before Chinese New Year, which is when shellfish is like.
Gung hoi fat toy.
Yes.
Got that down.
What did you say?
Gung hoi fat toy means Happy New Year in Chinese.
Look at you.
Really?
Linguist.
I learned that from a radio station once.
Well, it was a Happy New Year for Garbo's until, you know, this happened, really. And we're helping the workers, you know, with a trade adjustment assistance program to get retrained.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, this is deleterious to us, but, you know, China is having serious economic problems right now.
No, and that's why they have an incentive to end this. No question about it. Their economy is cooling. Their economy is also aging. You know, their
population.
So now they have real big challenges. And frankly, their behavior in, you know, with island building in the South China Sea, this stuff that is, it, frankly, countries like Vietnam, Philippines, Japan, they are looking to the U.S. now. They you know, they have no friends over there, China, in terms of their neighboring countries.
Right. So, which is why they're buddying up to us.
Right.
You know, I mean, that makes sense.
Well, hopefully this thing ends soon.
Yeah, well.
Chris Powell, who writes for the Journal Inquirer, does a column, was their managing editor for a while.
I know him well.
I'll bet you do. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, he was in Saigon, and he talked to us. We do a weekly thing with him. And he's saying that Saigon is amazing. It's just thoroughly changed. High rises. I mean, it's just, you know, it's become a capitalist country in a sense.
And very pro-American. I mean, which is kind of
amazing.
Yeah,
go figure. Yeah,
yeah, no, right. It is.
How did that happen?
Yeah, that one, yeah. Joe. Yeah. It's 7:58. We need to take a break here. Let's do a little traffic news coming up on WTIC. Joe Courtney is our guest. WTIC. All right, I'm Ray Dunaway. Joe D'Ambrosio is here.
Hi, this is Joe.
And the other Joe is here.
Yeah, morning.
The real Joe, Courtney, 2nd District Congressman.
The important Joe.
The important Joe. Yesterday, the Department of Interior gave the okie dokie to the Mashantucket and the Mohegans to jointly construct a casino in East Windsor. Mainly to go up against, I would think, against MGM Springfield. Do you think, Congressman, that we're getting to a point where it could be oversaturated?
Well, that's a good point and good question to discuss and analyze. However, I mean, what happened yesterday was that they completely reversed the position right. they announced a year and a half ago, which, frankly, was just totally, you know, had no basis in law. And I think, frankly, they had to do what they did yesterday because of the lawsuit that a judge was going to force them to do
right.
it inevitably. Right. So so that, I mean, I think, again, I was a good outcome because, it, you know, it's good to, when the departments follow the law.
That's nice. Yeah.
and it does open the pathway for the East Windsor facility to go up. I mean, clearly what we're seeing is Rhode Island – is in the casino business, right. you know, Springfield's open, Boston is right around the corner,
right.
and it does seem like there's a, you know, at some point, you know, a limited universe of how many people can patronize these places. You know, I do think both Mohegan and Foxwoods understand that you've got to give people more reasons to go than to gamble. And frankly, that's been the case in Las Vegas, is that, you know, they're creating destinations for families.
Exactly.
And you know, the New York State Hospital property, which Mohegan was named the developer of.
Right.
I mean, I would say to people, keep an eye on that, because I think that's what's going to be sort of the whole driving idea behind it, is to not it's not going to be another casino hall. It's going to be
like a destination center of some sort.
I think that's certainly where the thinking is going.
Kind of cool. Yeah.
Well, and the thing about the opening another casino, it sounds like the casinos will have some role, maybe a major role, when sports betting is finally approved.
Oh, absolutely. So I talked to my friends from New Jersey who, you know, almost the instant the Supreme Court came down with a decision legalizing sports gaming, New Jersey opened the portals. And frankly, they're, you know, for the state, it has been a really beneficial windfall in terms of the state budget. And I have to say, there's part of me that just can't understand. I don't like to pick on my friends in the, you know, in the state capital, but it's just like, but this is, you know, there's no opposition in the public to opening up sports gaming, and you know why we're leaving money on the table literally by not moving on this just is kind of incredible.
It's odd though, you know, Atlantic City, one of the reasons it was put in place was to get revenue for the state of New Jersey.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's going to rebuild the city and Atlantic City is going to be great. Well, no, it's all on the boardwalk, and even there they're having problems. So, you know, once again, back to Joe's point, it does get to be mature. You know, so now you got to spread it out, and I suppose that's what we're doing here.
Exactly. I mean, so again, a good friend of mine represents that area there, and he described what happened is that there was, I think, close to 8 or 9 casinos initially, and it's
including
contracted.
Trump,
right? Exactly, and it's contracted now to about I think it's 3 or 4.
Exactly,
and that seems to have been sort of an equilibrium. But the sports gaming,
again, can do it anywhere. It's just,
yeah, exactly.
Joe Courtney is with us, the 2nd District Congressman, who is in. How long are you home? Do you go back on Monday?
Monday.
What has the tenor changed in Congress? It seems like now with the Democratic majority that the Republicans, as the Democrats did, dig their heels in and say,
no.
This isn't, is operative words. No, you didn't do that because you've always been bipartisan, but... Do you get the sense that that's chipping away at all, or are things going to be – is this going to be a difficult – this 116th Congress going to be a particularly difficult –
I mean, it's a little
one.
Early to say, to be honest with you. And you know, Ray and I were talking off air about how – you know, if you look at the freshman class, which is a large one, I mean, it's 89 in terms of both parties. That's a big number, and it's around 60 or so on the Democratic side. The center of gravity in terms of the new members on our side, particularly the ones who won Republican seats, is much more moderate than sort of the stuff you see in the headlines day in and day out. Again, just on my subcommittee, CPower, we have two women who flipped Republican seats who are Annapolis graduates, distinguished records in the military, helicopter pilot, ship driver in the Navy, a young man from Maine, Jared Golden, who served 2 tours in Iraq. Again, Maine, too, was a Republican seat for many years, and Jared flipped that seat. And Gil Cisneros from California, who is a Navy veteran, again, who flipped a Republican seat. You probably haven't even heard these names before. And you're not going to.
You know why? Because they're not going to sit there and get on various cable talk shows and, you know, sound off.
And they are all business. I mean, in terms of they are very focused on their districts and doing their job.
It's your job, isn't it?
That's right. So, I think over time we're going to see that sort of group because the numbers are with them. Is that's going to start to emerge? Again, I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to be kumbaya.
No,
down there
It shouldn't be though. I just noticed comparing it. You have 8 new Democrats on your committee as opposed to when you were just the ranking member.
Yep, and really just amazing stories. Yeah. I mean, very rich military background. Again, generally speaking, that's always been the case on armed services. But this year, there's been just this infusion of
Joe,
great people.
Hang on a second. We got to take a break, pay some bills. Yeah. Back with Joe Courtney.
We don't do a commercial every hour, every couple of minutes where his salary goes down. Very important.
Yeah, I get a piece. Well, Joe, I guess you should introduce the other guy.
Yeah, Representative Joe Courtney from the sprawling 2nd District.
It is huge.
For a few more minutes here. What is on the docket, Congressman, that as far as the House is concerned, that you think will be something that folks in our state should keep an eye on as far as maybe benefiting our state or affecting our state one way or the other?
So obviously bills are written, you know, with a more broad scope. But so on the education committee, which I sit on with Congresswoman Hayes, you know, we haven't done a higher education rewrite in 10 years for the country. And that's the it's called the Higher Education Reauthorization Act.
Right.
So Pell Grant, Stafford loans, you know, loan forgiveness program, all that stuff, it sort of is in that big sort of basket that's there. And if you look at student loan debt, you know, $1.5 trillion overhang, a lot of people falling into delinquency.
Oh,
you know, it's a really pretty grim picture out there. And so in Connecticut, by the way, in terms of students with average student loan debt, we are right at the tippity top in terms of the number.
Really serious debt?
Yes, yes. So So anyway, I'm very bullish about the fact that we're going to finally get a higher ed bill moving this year. And there's going to be, again, I think some beneficial things for college students and but also non-college students. I mean, that's the,
right.
the thing is we've got to broaden the scope of what is higher education.
Well, your pals down at Electric Boat.
That's right.
They're saying we've got to have guys to work here. We've got a bunch of younger guys, but the older guys are going to be retiring. So where do we get our new workers?
So extending Pell to some of these you know job training right. programs, which, again, can generate income $60,000 walking in the door, you know, is really a smart sort of change to make there. We need to help people with high debt levels, at least allow them to refinance down their interest rates.
Right.
And I introduced a bill right before the break with about 60 co-sponsors. So, you know, today the government borrows 10-year Treasury notes at about 2.6%. Turns around and lends money to students at about 5%.
Okay.
So there's that VIG, that delta there, which so it's a windfall for the government. And so what we should at least do is refinance, allow folks to refinance down to something closer to what the government borrows.
You're on you're on the education committee,
yep.
and this is a state issue, but not a national issue. But I would think the second district would be very affected if this regionalization of schools goes in.
Yeah.
Do people talk to you about that?
No, yesterday I was out in Chester and East Haddam, and the answer is yes. You know, again, there is actually an appetite for consolidating costs in a more efficient
way. Well, you mentioned Chester, Deep River, Essex, and Chester, forming Valley Regional High School.
They do, but they also have five boards of education.
Which is nuts. Which
system.
Is insane.
Yes.
Right.
So you know, I actually, again, we've got a great new state senator down there, Norm Needleman, who just dropped a bill to, and it's more of a incentive bill to consolidate as opposed to a mandate, you know, where you're going to be forced.
If you can find a way to make it work, then
that's
make
right.
it work.
And I do think, you know, as we're going on a debt diet, you know, which the governor is proposing here, you know, we really need to look a little bit at, you know, how much the state is going to finance school construction without even any sort of analysis
right.
of what's of efficiency, because really we may be overbuilding in some parts.
No question. Well, since you're from Vernon, and that's where you live.
Yes.
You have a crumbling foundation, and I know you've been very busy trying to get relief. Where are we on that, and is there relief on the way?
So, again, the state program is up and running.
It's good.
The captive, and I've already talked to people who've benefited. Their claims have been approved. It's really, you know, I tip my hat to them. The state, the federal government just approved the first federal dollars through HUD to Vernon, Ellington, and Stafford to help do the testing. And I actually think the momentum is starting to shift in terms of, you know, people feeling like it's just totally
hopeless,
stranded. And again, the Grassroots Homeowners Coalition, you know, they don't have lobbyists, they don't have a PAC, they have just done this the old-fashioned
way. What's wrong
with
them?
But you know what? They're getting it done, and I really admire them all so much. And but there's more to be done, and you know, we're going to stay on it.
What's the biggest? You've been around Congress for more than a week now. You've been there for several years.
I think so.
What's the biggest difference you see in the House compared to when you were a fresh-faced freshman congressman until now when you're a grizzled veteran?
We knew him when.
So, I mean, look, and you guys experience this too. The way the country communicates is just radically changed. And there's some beneficial parts to it. I mean, I'm able to do an e-newsletter every week to 70,000 people for free, basically, give updates. And you know, the volume of communication is really good. On the other hand, you know, it just you're chasing, you know, bad information and bad facts and constantly. And there's an incentive for some of my colleagues to sort of, I think, you know, aggravate the problem.
We know where you're going
of scaring people and misleading people, and that makes it harder to do the normal compromise legislative process.
Because I mean, if we were, and Joe, I think you would agree. I mean, if you were to sit there and pay attention to that stuff, you'd think it's like open warfare. I mean, like they're
I don't read comments. You know, I don't read.
I don't either.
Neither do I.
And it's just because it's emotionally and time consuming, wasteful.
I'm sure.
Wasteful.
And sometimes when you watch, like I've watched some of the Senate committee meetings,
right?
You know, and they're so contentious, you know, and it's just one side's got one thing that they want to push, one thing's got another side that they want to push, and if you watch that, if you're here from another country and you watch that, you said, "What is this government's all about?"
What's up with these guys?
You know, I mean,
all right,
that's the political way, but it's just it's disturbing to see that. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I would say sometimes it's not as bad as it looks in terms of just you know,
sure.
Sometimes
our show isn't as bad as it sounds. But
you guys are the gold standard.
Now you know what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen at 10:05. Speaking as Joe was saying at 9:05, we'll be getting calls. Yeah. Why are they so nice to that Joe Courtney guy?
Soft on that Democrat. Thank you for coming in.
It's
we
great
always
to be
appreciate
here,
it.
And
Thank
we'll
you.
Be back.
Get ready. Batten down the hatches, baby. It's 8:29. Let's update traffic.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.